This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Tuesday, June 15th, 2021. I'm Caleb Brown. The Biden administration wants to hire tens of thousands of new IRS agents and wants to give the agency broader powers to snoop on your bank accounts. But as we've learned from recent ProPublica reporting, the IRS doesn't have a good record with data security. Andrew Moylan with the National Taxpayers Union Foundation details what we now know about how the rich do and do not pay taxes, and the likely outcome of giving the IRS more money and enforcement power.
Joe Biden wants to beef up the IRS. He wants the IRS to be a much more of an activist agency, to have agents of the IRS understand more about our getting and spending than the agency has known before. But before we get to that, the ProPublica story, this advertised as a bombshell that revealed how much and on what amount of income some of the richest people in the world pay U.S. taxes, Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, and others. So what was your general takeaway from that story?
Yeah, I mean, my takeaway is that it's the bombshell with no explosion, like somebody forgot to put the explosive material in, because you know, what the story actually said is we have all of this information now about the taxes that wealthy folks pay. And while they pitched it as this big revelation, what it actually showed is one, that they pay a lot in income taxes. And then the second element is that they calculated this sort of fake number. They made it up themselves about what their on paper growth in wealth was. So if I'm Jeff Bezos, I own a bunch of Amazon stock, and you know, how much did that increase in value? And then assess how much in income taxes I paid against that paper number that is not something you pay taxes on. Nobody pays taxes on the paper gains that they see in stock holdings. And so, you know, one of the writers of the story said, you know, we did a calculation that no one's ever done before. And there's a reason that no one's ever done that before. And it's because it's really an apples and oranges comparison. And so I think
let's understand this really clearly, though. You and I pay taxes on the realized income that we earn from wages. We pay taxes on realized income from assets. That is, if somebody pays us rent on a home that we're renting out, we pay taxes on that. And we do not pay taxes on the increase in value on a stock portfolio until we sell it.
Exactly. And there's a reason for that. And it's that, you know, you can't really enjoy something as income until it is in fact income. You know, paper assets, obviously they are worth something. And clearly they're worth a lot more for Jeff Bezos than for you or me. But that's different than income. That's different than somebody selling the asset, getting cash for it, and being able to utilize that. And that's the point at which we assess taxation. And that's true for you and me, and it's true for Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk as well, that they only pay tax on the gains that they actually realize in their portfolios, not what ProPublica might want them to pay tax on, which is the entirety of their holdings at any given moment.
So in some sense, you would characterize this as a piece of advocacy minus the explicit advocacy for a tax on assets, a tax on holdings.
Yeah, I mean, they could have written an honest, straightforward piece that said, here's what the impact of a wealth tax would be on wealthy folks based on this information that we've gotten. You know, they attack a thing called step up in basis, which we can get into. They could have addressed that and made it a straightforward piece about that. Instead, what they did is they calculated this pretend number of how much somebody paid in taxes on realized income versus their unrealized gains, and then portrayed it really as though there was some sort of fraud and deception on the part of wealthy folks, and the data just really doesn't show that when you look into it.
Yeah, the what we learned from the tax information about these super rich people is it's fairly mundane. Like if I were a rich guy, I would have used all of these perfectly legal tax advantage methods and techniques in order to avoid paying taxes.
Yeah. And none of it was really, nobody's doing some, you know, double Dutch secret, triple backflip, you know, running things through Ireland sort of thing. Maybe some more of that information will come out at some point. I don't know. But certainly in the initial dumps, nothing seemed to suggest that. It's just folks who have a tremendous amount of assets and a smaller than that amount of income. And obviously, if you're paying tax on a smaller amount of income, then you're going to see lower total payments. But we're also talking about billions of dollars worth of income tax payments across some of these wealthy folks. And again, that matches up with what we already knew, that the top 1% pay 40% of all income taxes in the country. And so this just very much backed that status up.
So Joe Biden wants to beef up the IRS to do what?
To know everything. In seriousness, you know, what they have talked about doing is spending tens of billions of dollars more to hire revenue agents at the IRS. And you say beef up, and the image that was in my head is the sort of bucking bronco with the horns. You know, they're talking about hiring 87,000 new agents. And perhaps most notably, they're talking about giving the IRS access to bank account information for substantially every individual and business in America. And, you know, ostensibly the reason for that is, oh, well, this will help us to enforce the tax code better, but it will also give them a tremendous amount of information on every single person, not just people that are suspected tax scofflaws, but every single person. And as we saw with the ProPublica situation, the IRS is not exactly great at data security. And so there are real risks to people that that information getting out into the wild, whether for political purposes or for financial extortion purposes or other things, could be a real problem. So that's the future that the Biden administration wants, unfortunately.
And let's, you know, think through this with me, what that looks like for somebody who gets paid cash to do some amount of work, either through some sort of app or cash to perform a service or run a yard sale or any number of other like very small time activities. What would this kind of ramping up of IRS agents do to that person potentially?
Well, the big thing that it does is it gives the IRS a hook to initiate an audit. If they see bank account information that does not match what is on your income tax form for one reason or another, because you are engaged in some informal economy type of activities like you described or something else, that gives them the ability to initiate an audit. Now, they have the ability to initiate an audit today, but this gives them the information they need to do that on a more comprehensive basis. And one of the things that, you know, we've tried to highlight is a lot of progressives are sort of excited about the notion of giving the IRS more tax enforcement powers, because I think they envision them as only being deployed on the wealthy. But if you look at the actual elements of the so-called tax gap, the gap between what is technically owed in taxes and what is actually paid, huge amounts of that are driven actually by the activities of lower income folks. So it's, you know, child tax credit fraud or the earned income tax credit, things like that. And so if you were just following the numbers in terms of closing the tax gap and using your 87,000 IRS agents to do that, one of the ways that you would do that is by focusing on people, you know, making $30,000, $40,000 a year who take the child tax credit and making sure that that child is actually resident in the home and doing, you know, the number of things that audits do to try to attack that fraud. And so, you know, it's a pretty scary prospect for more people than just Jeff Bezos in the world.
Yeah, I was wondering about that, because it seems that, as with many things, wealthy people are able to hire people to help them avoid the complications of the tax code, and lower income people just don't have the time or the access or, frankly, the means to fight a lot of these things. It seems that the target-rich environment may well be lower income people for these new IRS agents.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunately a tale as old as time that, you know, folks with the most means have the most means to be able to avail themselves of every, you know, smart attorney and accountant in the world to try to minimize their tax burden. And, you know, obviously the broader goal for an organization like ours is to try to simplify the code to the point where a lot of that stuff is less lucrative, I guess. But the simple reality is that wealthy folks are going to have an easier time steering around this stuff than your average middle class family is.
So what do you advocate specifically, assuming this is moving forward? And there, as you said, there are a lot of people who are excited about the prospect of beefing up the IRS, why I am a little confused about. But what are some safeguards for people's privacy, for transparency of the IRS's processes? And one of the things that concerns me the most, frankly, is the discretion with which these new enforcement muscle will be used.
Yeah. Discretion is not a term ordinarily associated with the IRS. But, you know, if we are having a discussion about how to reform the IRS and how to make the tax code more enforceable, how to shrink the tax gap, you know, unfortunately, again, tale as old as time, the answer for a lot of politicians is throw more money at the problem. But there is arguably not a single agency in all of government at any level in the United States that is less prepared for just having money thrown at it than the IRS, which has for decades been a dysfunctional institution. They are still today processing tax returns from 2019. You know, still today, some nearly a quarter of business returns are performed on paper, which leads to huge processing delays. You know, this is an agency that has not been functioning well for a long time. And so from our perspective, from my perspective, the answer is you first start with trying to make it a functional agency, trying to reform the internal processes, the data and information technology services that the agency has. And that really, in terms of the ProPublica story, started with a likely criminal leak of information on the part of taxpayers. And so getting answers about that before you get into any kind of discussion about more agents and more money is the reasonable thing to do. Now, Washington is not often known for doing the reasonable thing first, but that's what I would do if I ran the zoo.
Okay. So with respect to how the IRS does business today, there are significant problems. You know, the story I hear the most is that when you call the IRS to ask a technical question about the tax code, that 40 to 60% of the time, the advice that the IRS gives you is wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's if you get through to somebody in the first place, which is actually a significant issue. The commissioner was testifying just recently about how low that percentage is. And so, you know, again, this is an agency that is fundamentally failing at its job to enforce the tax code and to do it in a way that's responsible. And the people who bear the brunt of that, of course, are taxpayers who are getting dragged into audits, who are, you know, the tax code and the IRS make criminals out of perfectly well-meaning people all the time, just by virtue of complexity and the problems associated with enforcement. And so this is not an agency that is prepared for, you know, tens of billions of new funding and new agents. And unfortunately, that seems to be the first instinct for a lot of folks.
Andrew Moylan is Executive Vice President at the National Taxpayers Union Foundation. Subscribe to the Cato Daily Podcast pretty much anywhere. And follow us on Twitter at Cato Podcast.